Well, good morning. Good morning and welcome to Bowmansville. It's good to see each one of you here today. I'd like to extend a special welcome to any guests who are worshiping with us. Delight to have you with us. Also welcome those who are watching via live stream. It's good to have you as part of our worship service here this morning as well. So receive this call to worship. It is a risk to have come here today to worship God. This is a place where believers worship what cannot be seen and choose to participate in a living mystery. This is a place where we seek God and ask for His continued transformation of our hearts and our lives. This is a place where we, with the help of the Holy Spirit, take the risk of letting go of the familiar ways in order to believe, receive, and to love like Jesus. We ask that God would increase our faith and trust in Him today. Would you join in worshiping the one true and living God?
I agree with Larry. I invite you to join us in worshiping our God.
Wait, who's this God that we worship, and what's He like?
Well, Psalm 78 describes what the Most High God is like, what He has done, and what He expects of His people. First, God showed that He is a powerful God, able to protect and provide for His people.
God destroyed their enemies with plagues. Then He made water stand up firm like a wall for them to escape.
He split rocks to provide water and rained down bread and meat for them to eat.
He guided them by cloud and by fire.
Still, they continuously forgot His power and what He had done. In spite of His wonders, they did not believe in God or trust in His deliverance.
Then God showed that He is a merciful God, remembering that they were but flesh, and He did not destroy them.
Finally, God drove out the nations before them and settled them in the Promised Land.
But again, God's people were faithless and disloyal. They aroused His jealousy with their idols.
Then God showed that He is a jealous God. He showed His anger toward His people for serving anything other than Him.
In His anger, He abandoned the tabernacle of Shiloh, and He sent the ark into captivity. Fire consumed their young men, and He gave His people over to the sword.
Then God showed that He is a redeeming God, and He chose David, His servant, to be the shepherd of His people, His inheritance, to shepherd them with integrity of heart. And all these things God commanded our forefathers to teach to their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born. And they, in turn, would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God. You can read all about this in Psalm 78.
Thank you for telling me about our God.
And that is what youth ministry is all about in a nutshell. Not everyone is called to be a youth pastor, but everyone is called to youth ministry by remembering the powerful deeds of our God and then choosing to trust Him with the problems of today and the concerns of tomorrow. And finally, telling these great things to the next generation, teaching them to trust, put their trust in God. So today's offering is for a youth ministry fund. If you did not already put something in, you want to, you can do that during the first couple songs here. I invite you to stand.
Water you turn into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None like you. stop us. If our God is with us, then what could stand against? Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. God is an awesome God.
Let us pray. Father God, we thank you and praise you for being here today. Lord, you are the undefeated, holy God, and we are so grateful that nothing and no one will ever defeat you. Lord, nothing will come as a surprise to you, but what you do want from us is our unending devotion and love. For you are worthy, you are holy, and we want to worship and honor you today because of that. Father, we thank you also for your blessings to us, and we ask that you help us to be a blessing to others. Lord, we lift up all those who are working with the youth in our church, in our community, in our world. Father, the youth need to see you, to know you, to hear from you, and to serve you, to give their lives to you because you are worthy. Father, we pray for all those in the youth ministries here. Be with them as they guide and direct. Father, be with Pastor Larry today as he calls us to have a deep commitment. So we lift this time up to you in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.
God's most powerful deed that we have to declare to the next generation is that he gave his only son so that we can live. And he continues to do mighty deeds that are worthy of all of our praise, all of our trust, and all of our service.
The mystery of the cross I cannot comprehend. The agony of Calvary. You, the perfect Holy One, crushed your Son, who drank the bitter cup reserved for me.
This next song is Stand Up for Jesus. You know, the God that he is and all he has done. What more can we do but just stand up for him?
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army he shall lead. Till every foe is vanquished, Christ is Lord indeed.
Powerful, you are merciful, you're redeeming, and you are jealous. And we just humbly stand before you today in your presence, thankful that you allow us to do so. In Jesus' name, amen.
So I'd like to invite any children to come forward for a children's story this morning. We'll sit on this side over here. Well, good morning. Well, thank you for coming front. You know, I live in a house that's surrounded by woods. And a lot of times what I like to do is go for a walk in the woods and see God's creation, because it reminds me of a great God that we have and how much he loves me as an individual person and how much he loves you guys as well. So we're going to take a look at some things that we might see if we go for a walk in the woods. So first of all, what is that? Rocks, yes. So God created the rocks. See what else he created. What's that? Yeah, man, you're right on top of things this morning. How about that? Leaves, yeah. Cardinal, yeah. It's a bird, but it's a cardinal, and you can tell it's a cardinal by its bright red and the tuft that he has on his head. It's pretty amazing. What kind of bird is that? It's an oriole, yes. How about that one? It's a yellow bird, yes. That's actually not what it's named, though. You see right there the yellow on its throat? Guess what it's called? A yellow throat. It's a yellow throat, and you can identify it by the black mask it wears. So I see those around our house, and when I go camping up in the mountains at Pine Creek, I see a lot of those yellow throats up there. We've actually named our campsite Camp Yellow Throat because there's so many yellow throats flying around the camp. See what else we can find. Oh, what's that? A rat. Are you sure? A mole? Well, if you take a look at its snout there, it's not a mole. This animal is actually weighs about a half an ounce. Does anybody know what it is? Shrew, yes, it's a shrew. It's actually called a pygmy shrew. So these guys are very, very tiny. And so you might not see them real easily because they're so small. But if you notice, this guy's waving to you. See that? He's waving at you. Anybody know what this is? It's a plant? Yes. Anybody? A fiddlehead fern. Just back there fiddling, yeah. It's a fiddlehead fern. Yes, that's exactly what it is. And so those things, when in the spring they sprout and they're curled up ferns like that, it's pretty amazing to see all of God's creation. And like I said, that reminds me of what a great God we have and the creation that he's made for us to enjoy and to see. So some of these things were very familiar. We knew what they were right away as soon as they came up on the screen. But some of these other things, we had to ask the adults even to know what that shrew was because we didn't know what it was. So it's the same way with God. Some things we know about God, some other things we're learning about God every day. And oftentimes when we learn about God, he invites us to try new things in life. And that's the way we learn, and that's the way we grow. So if we have lots of questions about God and about other things in life, we can always ask our parents, we can ask our teachers, we can ask anybody about those questions we have about God, because they can help us to learn more about him and to love him more deeply. So we know that he loves us because the Bible tells us Jesus loves us. We sing that song in Sunday school. And also the Bible also tells us that we love him because he first loved us. But most importantly, I think that if we have questions, we can always ask God those questions as well. And some way he can reveal those answers to us. So thank you very much for coming front and identifying those things on the screen. And I'd just like to have a little word of prayer with you, and then you can go back to your parents. I do have a snack over here also. So just wait till I have a prayer, okay? Let's pray. Thank you, God, for these children. I ask for your blessing upon them today, and I pray, Father God, that one day they would truly love you with all their hearts and commit their hearts and lives to you. So bless these children in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, you can grab a snack out of the bag. Well, again, greetings in the name of Jesus. Good to see each one of you here today. This morning we're going to be continuing our journey through Lent, which will lead us up to Good Friday and ultimately to the morning we celebrate Resurrection Sunday here at church. And just a plug for our Good Friday service, we're planning to have a worship service here in the sanctuary on Good Friday. We're going to be watching a video. It's entitled The Insanity of God. It's true stories of faith and persecution of believers around the world. It will not be live streamed, so make plans to be here in person to attend that service. And because there's a few scenes that have violent content, parents are encouraged to be discerning about allowing their young children to view the video. So child care will be provided in the basement, in the fellowship hall, if you desire that for your children. The video is about an hour and a half long, but it is very riveting. I found it to be very riveting. So I also believe that it is a wake-up call for the church here in America today, for us. So, to the subject at hand this morning, called to deep commitment. We are transformed by God as we follow His voice and leading along the path of life. And sometimes that leads us to new and unfamiliar places. Now, I hope that you haven't forgotten that last year, we did not have a Good Friday service. And we didn't have a Resurrection Sunday morning worship service because of the uncertainty surrounding COVID. So my prayer is that we can understand this call for our need to a deeper commitment during the coming days, weeks, and months ahead. The call to go deeper can be frightening and perhaps overwhelming, because we may feel like we aren't in control. See, some of us like things planned and organized, which gives us, I believe, this false sense of control and this false sense of security. Oftentimes, during the season of Lent, persons are asked to give something up. Maybe it's an activity or refraining from eating a certain kind of food, etc. So I would like to suggest that this season of Lent and beyond, that we give up our need to be in control and the need to have everything planned out to the T. Now, please understand what I'm saying. We do need to make plans. We do need to be organized. What I'm suggesting is that when things don't go as they're planned, then we remember that we're anchored in the rock, Jesus Christ, because we believe He is in control. Amen? So you say you believe that. So the question is, does my life, does your life reflect that belief that you believe God is in control? Well, maybe for that to be more of a reality in our lives, I believe it requires us to answer this call to a deeper commitment. So if you would, turn in your Bibles to Psalm 42. I'd like to read the first four verses of Psalm 42. The theme of this psalm is a thirst for God. Psalm 42, verse 1. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. The call to a deeper commitment involves going beyond the familiar and the comfortable and requires a longing and a thirsting for God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. I believe that when we truly thirst for God, we will find a never-ending stream from which we can drink. And as we drink from that stream, we find true life. The writer of this psalm was discouraged because he was exiled to a place far from Jerusalem and could not worship in the temple. Not that long ago, we were asked not to meet here in this building on Sunday mornings for worship because of the spreading of COVID. When we began meeting again, did you return to the Lord's house with shouts of joy and thanksgiving? What was your attitude? What was your attitude as we began to meet in person again? When we're truly thirsting for God, I believe we will enter into His presence with shouts of joy and a spirit of thanksgiving. The call to deep commitment, I believe, requires a deepening of our faith in God. Faith in God leads us to a place of releasing our grip or releasing control of our lives and turning that control over to Him. That can be very uncomfortable, but at the same time, it is also very life-giving. It's where abundant life is found. The truth is that every person has faith in someone or something. Every person lives their life based on some sort of belief system. So I'd like to take a look this morning at what does the Bible say about faith. According to the Complete Expository Dictionary of Old and New Testament Words, the Greek word most often translated as faith in the New Testament means belief, trust, or confidence. Now, obviously, Jesus is who a Christian places their faith in. In his book, Systematic Theology, Wayne Grudem defines saving faith like this, and I'm going to quote, "Saving faith is trust in Jesus Christ as a living person for forgiveness of sins and eternal life in God," unquote. So, okay, we got some fancy definitions or some definitions from a dictionary and some scholar, biblical scholar. But what does biblical faith look like in our lives today in 2021? So I'd like to take a look at five things that I believe the Bible teaches us about our faith in God. First of all, faith is a choice. True Christian faith professes an unreserved belief and confidence in Jesus, in his love for me, and in his power to help me in whatever comes my way in life. Hebrews 11:6 tells us, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." So faith is a choice. I need faith to believe and to become a Christian. I choose to believe in Jesus Christ, that he died for my sins, and that by believing in him, my sins are forgiven. The promise in John 3:16 is clear. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." It is faith in the person of Jesus Christ that saves someone, not faith in a particular philosophy or in following some code of rules or conduct. Salvation is also a gift from God and not something that we can earn or attain by our own efforts. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." I choose to acknowledge my sin, to repent, and to ask for forgiveness and place my faith and trust in Jesus to save me from the pit of hell. Number two, faith does not abandon reason. Faith is not some illogical, blind acceptance. True biblical faith is not some flimsy, pie-in-the-sky kind of hope. Instead, our faith is a firm, solid confidence in God, in believing that he is who he says he is, and believing that he will do exactly what he says he will do. In Hebrews 11, commonly known as the Hall of Faith, verse 1 says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." We need to understand that God can stand up to any scrutiny and investigation. Numbers of professing atheists have set out to prove that there's no God, and they ended up becoming followers of Jesus Christ. We hear a lot of chatter these days about believing or following science. Well, there's tons of scientific facts and evidence to undergird our faith in our God as a creator God. There's also an abundance of historical information to support the biblical narrative. Living a life of faith does not mean that we never have questions about God and about his ways. But when we do have questions, we know that we can trust the one who has the answers. If we choose to dig into his word and find them. And that doesn't necessarily mean that we're always going to find an answer, because sometimes it requires faith, believing that God is who he says he is. Number three, faith is strengthened by trials. God uses difficulties, trials, and persecutions to strengthen and grow our faith. Just as fire refines gold and silver by burning away the dross, the fires and the trials of life burn away the impurities of our faith. 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus is revealed." You see, our faith can grow lazy, and our faith can grow flabby when times are easy. But trials and difficulties in life present us with the opportunity to develop and strengthen our faith. James 1, 2 to 4 says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you can be mature and complete, lacking nothing." So if you're going to consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds, you're either crazy or you know something. I suggest that we know that those trials are developing and strengthening our faith. Because when difficulties come, and difficulties will come in life, let's not waste those opportunities to grow our faith in God. Number four, faith protects us from the enemy's arrows. Our enemy is Satan, the father of lies. Not only is he the father of lies, he also uses those lies as he whispers them in our ears, creating guilt, creating shame, creating doubt in our minds and our hearts. He whispers, "God doesn't care about you. God can't do anything about the situation you're in." Our enemy is also very good at reminding us of all the past mistakes and failures that we've made. Digging up sin that God has forgiven and placed under the powerful blood of Jesus Christ, if we would ask him for forgiveness. Our faith in God protects us from Satan's attacks. In Ephesians 6, the Apostle Paul likened our faith in God to the shield that the Roman soldiers used to protect their entire body. Our faith in God, our faith in his character, our faith in his ways is a shield that blocks the enemy's pointed schemes against us. Ephesians 6:16 says, "In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one." Faith, true, deep faith, extinguishes those arrows and those fiery lies from the pit of hell. Deep faith in Almighty God negates the power of Satan. My Bible tells me, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I got to remind myself of that quite frequently as I journey through life. And number five, faith opens the door to a victorious life. And I invite the worship team to come forward at this time to prepare to lead us in our closing song. Anytime someone chooses to follow Jesus and his word, they will find themselves engaged in a fierce spiritual battle. To win this battle, followers of Jesus must believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. We must also believe in Jesus Christ's finished work on the cross of Calvary. Our unwavering, deep faith opens the door to a victorious life in Christ. We can be overcomers because Jesus was an overcomer. 1 John 5:4-5, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Our faith in God opens the door to a victorious life. I'd like the worship team to lead us in Faith is the Victory, and please join in singing this song.
Sanctuary.
Thanks for leading those songs. We are called to deep commitment during this season of Lent. May our faith and our trust in Almighty God grow deep as we remember what John, 1 John 4:4 says, "Greater is he that is in you than the one that is in the world." So would you please join me in prayer? Almighty God, we do indeed thank you for this call that we receive from you today. This call for a deep commitment to you. And I ask, Almighty God, that you would help us, everyone here this morning, help us to deepen our faith and trust in you. Help us to commit our lives totally to you, to surrender everything to you, and allow you to be our Savior and our Lord. So I ask for your blessing upon this congregation. In the strong and powerful name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Now, would you stand to receive this parting blessing? Go, knowing that you are called to a deep commitment and to a deep faith in God. And as you go, remember that the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Go expecting to be transformed by God. Go expecting to be surprised by God. God bless you. Go in peace. Have a great week.